how about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
At KPMG, we make the difference. It's not just something we say. It's what we do. Our professionals believe in the value of collaboration and the power of technology. We work closely with clients to uncover insights that illuminate opportunity, develop bold solutions that innovate industries, and create better outcomes driven by data. Brighter insights. Bolder solutions. Better outcomes. It's how our people make the difference, driving growth and value for our clients. KPMG. Make the difference.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay,
when the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Several buzzy topics have come up that I'm not sure are novel or useful, and so I invited analyst Seth Robinson to join me. In this part one discussion, we cover the metaverse and NFTs. This is a bonus episode of The Business of Tech. So today's going to be a little different because normally when I come into these, I've got a particular interview person and we're going to talk about one particular bit. But today I wanted to have a little bit more fun and invite on an analyst colleague, an analyst friend, Seth Robinson, to talk a little bit. And we're going to discuss a couple of things that we haven't been able to talk about in our own shows because we haven't quite had the framing for them. So this is a little bit of fun. But before we get into that, Seth, I never assume anybody knows who I am or my guests are. Who are you and what do you do in the IT channel and IT business?
Well, thanks for having me, Dave. I'm very happy to be here. Looking forward to the discussion today. I am the Vice President of Industry Research at CompTIA. If anyone's not familiar with CompTIA, we're a trade association for the IT industry. We provide certifications for IT professionals and then membership opportunities for IT firms. And the research that we do kind of plays to both sides. You know, we support the IT workforce and we understand the trends that are happening there. And then we also look at the business of technology and how that's shifting and evolving as the world is becoming more digital. So that's me.
And the fun thing about this, we both spend a lot of time on research, you doing research, me doing a lot of analysis of the data organizations like you spit out. And oftentimes we're trying to make that very practical for day-to-day IT services companies. And there's a couple of areas that you and I have talked about kind of, you know, together collaborating on that we have not quite figured out, and I'm using this framework of novel versus useful. Like, we haven't figured out which one they are entirely. And I figured we want to run through some of these ones that we haven't been able to discuss on from our practicality perspective. And I'll throw it out to the one that you and I were riffing about as we prepared for this. The metaverse. Like, what's your take on the metaverse?
Yes, metaverse is a fun one. We always put out a big industry outlook at the end of every year, looking ahead to the next year and talking about the 10 trends. And that usually comes out in November. So obviously we have to start writing that and planning for it in like September, October timeframe. So at the time we started planning, Metaverse had been like thrown around a little bit, but not really. By the time the report came out, Meta, nay Facebook, had done their big conference, you know, or their big reveal, and Metaverse was everywhere. And here we were with the outlook, not really talking about it. And so we kind of had to spin up quickly and be like, okay, where are we going to mention Metaverse that it doesn't look like we're completely in the dark on this? And I think that your framing of practical versus buzzy, you know, or whatever, was one that we still grappled with as we were, you know, looking back at the outlook, and the outlook is meant to be somewhat practical. Like, here are things that you can use in your career or your business. Is Metaverse one of those things? I'm not sure that it is today. I'm not sure that Metaverse, especially in the way that Facebook or Meta presented it, is much of anything. You know, when I really, really back out, the Metaverse to me is basically the life that we're living online. And most of us have been in the Metaverse for a long, long time now. The example that I use is banking. Where do you do your banking? Do you do it at a bank? No, you don't. You do it online. So like, you go to a bank online. You don't do that in virtual reality, but you do it online. You have a persona there. You have an identity there that you go to your bank with. So there's some interesting things there. But I think if we look at the virtual reality part of it, how much is really there? Virtual reality obviously has been something that's been talked about for quite a long time now, you know, mostly in the gaming world, as you know. And I think it's very interesting to think about, like, will it take a next step? But I think some of the things that Meta and some other people are kind of assuming with that vision of the Metaverse might not quite match up with reality. What do you think? What's your take?
Well, we're only talking about the Metaverse because Facebook's core business is in decline and they're trying to pivot to something else. And they've declared the Metaverse, which I'm going to, in this case, refer to as the Zuckerverse. Like, their particular version of it is a head fake to make us all look at that, to not pay attention to the fact that their core business is in decline, that they're under attack, they're under siege, they're not very well liked. There's regulation. Oh, and by the way, the big blue app in decline. And so they're looking for the next big thing. And so they put forth the Zuckerverse version of this to say, like, look over here. If you actually dive into the Metaverse, there's a lot of versions of it that have already exist. I am a gamer. So I was sort of like, and go like, observe that, I don't know, that we've had multi-massively online player environments for a while. There's two big ones right now, you know, Minecraft and Fortnite, which are real online environments that exist, that have millions and millions of players within them. And they don't require anything more than a gaming platform. Right? Yeah. You're able to participate in those. There are other versions of that. There are versions where I could view exactly the version that you've outlined, where it's a representation of my digital self. And it's thinking about all of these things. If I go back to our AR, VR thinking about this, which we have talked about for a long time, I think VR is super specialized. There are some instances that it will work for, but I admit that any technology that requires you to put something on your face that makes you look like a moron and oftentimes causes motion sickness is not a long-term viable thing. But I'm big on AR. I love the idea of data being fed to us as users. I think it may come in forms. We focus a lot on like the phone displaying things, or we get these ideas of we will augment things, maybe contact lenses. But I think it could be as simple as we all wear AirPods all the time around because it's been normalized. If you know the digital assistants whisper in our ear and present us some additional information, that's also interesting to me, this idea of like, just think about the way you use Google Maps, right? I can get out on my bike and go for a ride. I can have my earbud in and Google Maps will give me specific directions. That's interesting to me. That's useful versus these Zuckerverse versions of it where it's like, well, it doesn't even really exist. You're just kind of making me do it. And I'm not sure people want to do that. That's my kind of my take.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. And when I was looking at this specifically, especially at the beginning of this year, when we wanted to kind of put a stake in the ground and say what we were thinking when we were looking at all of this, on the one hand, you know, Zuckerberg saw something in the way that we could bring our physical life online, you know, back with the original Facebook, that not a lot of other people were seeing. I think he understood that. And I don't necessarily want to discount that he may be seeing something that none of us can see. It's 10 years in the future, and we're all going to get there. However, the thing that he seems to be saying that he's seeing is that people want to be more immersed in this digital life that they've created, you know, whether that's just regular life or whether that's especially at work. And that's the part that I'm having a hard time with. I think people actually want to be less immersed in their digital life. I think to your point about AR, they want to have it ambient. They want to have all of these layers that are accessible to them, but they don't necessarily want to be immersed in it. So one thing I think that's triggered a lot of the interest in the metaverse has been all of the shift to remote work. And so it's like, okay, if I'm working remotely, how can I have a more effective meeting with colleagues or external stakeholders or whatever it is? Would that look like more immersion that would replace a face-to-face meeting? And I just don't know that it's there. I think, again, that people want to be less immersed. If they're working from home, they want to be able to take a call while they're doing laundry or helping a kid with a homework or driving somewhere, none of which are really that feasible with a headset on. So I agree with you that I think augmented reality has a lot more potential here. And, you know, if Zuckerberg and Facebook and maybe a few other people are kind of promoting this idea of Ready Player One, that we're all going to strap on a headset and a kit and enter a new world, I think it's a lot more like the Avengers hologram meetings, right? Where you're going to be in your environment and you can still interact with people in a much deeper way than you can today, but it's not going to completely take you out of your environment. The common thread for all of this, yeah, whichever way it goes, the common thread is hardware, right? There's going to be a lot of hardware needed.
Well, and you went exactly where that I was going to go. Is if we're dreaming up the scenario, right, and we're thinking to the potential future, I'm much more intrigued by the idea of Avengers hologram meetings where somebody hollows in and appears in the same space, and then I do have that interaction versus strapping someone on my face, going into this, you know, isolation tube version of the world. Like, that doesn't feel like the way that it integrates. And if we're dreaming, if we're saying 10, 20 years out, it's not as unreasonable as you might think. We're using holograms in entertainment circles right now to bring in, you know, to bring in rappers to perform on stage. It's not that unreasonable to think maybe we'll have a light emitting device attached by your television or something, for example, that will project into your room. I can see that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's an element of, but we also have to then always put on our head of, like, you know, is it useful? Are we solving an actual problem or is it just sort of cool? And I'm not sure we all want to have this immersive work experience. I'm not sure that's the way this is all going.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Like I said, it seems like it will go one way or the other, or maybe some combination, you know, of both. There are going to be some small number of applications, I think, where virtual reality does make sense. So as both of these things move forward, there's probably going to be a lot of hardware opportunities one way or another.
So let's do another buzzy one, because all the rage is NFTs, mm-hmm. right? The idea of non-fungible tokens, which are these a new asset class that can retain value and that has, you know, that creates digital uniqueness. This is, again, another one that just sort of appeared. Seth, what's your reaction when you hear NFTs?
I feel like even in the time that we've been planning this discussion, things have changed a little bit. You know, so I think if you go back like 2 months ago, NFTs were super, super hot. And the going theory was that this was a way to create, you know, an immutable digital asset, you know, that could prove ownership and whatever. And I think that some of that technology is there. But over the past 2 months, I think there have been a lot of stories about these things getting hacked or falsified, or people, you know, preying on other people that don't quite understand how the technology works. And it's not perfect, right? So on the one hand, even if it were perfect, even if the technology were working perfectly, I kind of wonder how many applications there would be for these things. And I think that you can see in like real estate transactions or art collection or a number of things that kind of range from either actual business use to hobbies. And make no mistake, hobbies are real business, right? There's a lot of money to be made in hobbies. Could NFTs provide kind of an underlying foundation for that and maybe change the way that business is done? I think there was some potential there. Now that some of the dark side of them has been revealed, and that they're not perfect, and that there has to be a lot more care taken, I think it starts coming unraveled a little bit. And can they still be useful? Yeah, I think so. I think with the proper governance around them and oversight and handling, I think that they could be an improved version of a lot of things that are happening today. I don't know if they're going to be revolutionary, though. I don't know that they are going to completely wipe out other industries or middlemen that have been involved in these transactions in the past. Like these middlemen are not unaware of the technology that's coming out, right? So if this technology proves to be the better way of doing things, I think they'll be able to move to it. I don't think it's going to be like an innovator's dilemma situation. They can say, okay, we're just going to do, you know, NFTs here for our assets.
Yeah, and I have to let it go, but I've been quipping on NFT, no effing thanks. and the reason is so I actually am a collector. Like I'm a video game collector, I'm a comic book collector. Like I actually understand the idea of assets that have both emotional value, but then also trade value on a market of collectors. It is only valuable because we as humans have deemed it to be. And only because we have perceived scarcity around that. And I get the idea of wanting that scarcity in digital assets. I get all of that. This isn't that. This is not scarcity of the actual digital asset. This is some fake layer that tries, I mean, essentially it's a receipt for ownership of a digital asset, not actually tracking it. So we're layering on top of that. Oh, and by the way, people are unhappy with the fact that it is completely open-ended Wild West, where it can be completely stolen with no way to leverage that if it's actually got asset. You can't put your money into something and hope it's an asset without some way of actually protecting it, which it's proving that there are some real problems with this. And the only way a market like this is sustainable is if you have other humans that also value this. And if you dig into NFTs, you know, 80% of them are owned by a very small collection of people who are trying to create artificial scarcity. I just don't buy it. But I do buy that there is an idea of a digital asset has value. I'll reference again, you know, online gaming, because the example is there. People spend real dollars for digital assets. You can buy skins, you can buy gun colors, you can buy virtual stuff in these games, and people are happy to do that. They understand the value of a digital asset. Oh, and by the way, there is also rarity to that that can be imposed. This is just an artificial system to it, but we do want to recognize. In some ways, I look at this and say, like, oftentimes we're trying to reinvent systems that actually already work. We're not even going to dig too much into heavy crypto here, but there's an element of, like, money isn't broken.
Yeah.
Like, money as a concept isn't broken. We have a lot of bits. We have areas where it could be more efficient and could be improved, but it's not core broken. This is another area where I'm not sure we're solving for anything. Again, it's that novel versus useful. Well, it's kind of a neat idea, but you haven't found a useful solution.
Yeah, the last thing that I'll say on NFTs is I think that the way that they could be used is exactly what you're describing, that if you are able to, you know, give someone some ownership of something that's maybe because they're interested in you, then I think that's valuable. And so the example that I'm getting at here is like a loyalty program. So like, I know you're on Patreon, right? And Patreon, mm-hmm. you can set it up where you've got these tiers. You can be like a $5 a month Patreon or, you know, 10, 20, whatever. And you get like more and more stuff, right? And I could see like, if you're setting up a loyalty program, like some of those top tiers would be, if you are a fan of us, we will give you an NFT of a podcast or a logo or whatever it is. And again, I think in that world, those things start to make sense. I think generally speaking, are they going to be, you know, a new line of business or a new form of a revenue stream? I think I'm with you. I don't know that I see it.
Yeah. And so again, it's got to be useful. I get the need to have a market with volatility to create value. I get that. I'm not sure this is that.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Part 2 of this interview will include Web3 and the return to work. Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSP Radio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's Jean-Luc Foote.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.